My guests today are producer Camilo Gutierrez Galvan and actress Lady Gutierrez. Now, Camilo is a writer, producer, and film promoter from Mexico. He founded the independent production company Sauce Negro Films and has produced and collaborated as a writer in four short films alongside filmmaker and creative partner Omar Deneb Juarez. Now, Camilo produced the short film Juan's Sundown, winner of the 2017 Ariel Award as Best Fiction Short Film of the Year, given by the Mexican Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences. It was also winner of the jury's Special Mention Award at Guadalajara's International Film Festival. In 2023, his most recent short film as producer, Isla Soledad, premiered at the LA Shorts International Film Festival and was also selected for competition at the Holly Shorts International Film Festival. Now, this short was a co-production with the Oscar-winning British production company Slick Films through executive producer and Academy Award-winning filmmaker Chris Overton. Also with us today is actress Lady Gutierrez. Now, her debut on the big screen was in the prestigious Mexican film Las Elegidas in 2016 by David Pablos. Now, this film was the winner of several Ariel Awards and was selected by the Mexican Academy of Cinematographic Arts and Sciences to represent Mexico at the Goya Awards awarded by the Spanish Film Academy. In 2019, she starred in the film Chiquitateas. The film premiered at the Cannes Film Festival and was nominated for several Ariel Awards in the 2020 edition. In 2023, she had a reoccurring role in the show La Cabeza de Juan Merida, produced and distributed by Amazon Prime, and she is currently starring in the critically acclaimed series Señorita 89, which is currently streaming on Apple TV Plus and many other services worldwide. So let's welcome writer-producer Camilo Gutierrez Galvan and actress Lady Gutierrez and the film Isla Soledad to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Gracias.
Well, Camilo, let me start with you. I enjoyed the short film Isla Soledad. Where did the idea come from?
Well, Isla Soledad is a project that we started writing along Omar Deneb Juarez, which is my partner, in like probably 2 or 3 years ago during the pandemic. The inspiration was about a shelter home that is in our hometown, and where they have these kids that are, you know, from mothers and fathers who have had some problems. So that's where the director, my partner Omar, came with the idea, and we started developing and working on the script from there.
So how did you get connected to Slick Films?
Well, with my partner Omar, we have had we have been working for 4 or 5 years now. And one of the first shows that we did, which was called Juan Sundown, we had the fortune to win the Mexican Academy Award. And there was an encounter of directors in Europe, which had gathered some of the Academy Award winners worldwide. One of them was the Oscar, and Chris had won the Oscar for a short film that same year. So, you know, they met each other and they really liked each other's films. And at that point, I think Chris started following the work we had done. And then at some point, he contacted us and told us that he really wanted to work on a short film with us, and that we really could help each other out. So that was the way we met Chris.
Well, for you, Camilo, how did you get into filmmaking?
We're from Mexico, but it's also interesting to say that we're from Colima, which is one of the smallest towns in our country, and that's where we met each other, my partner and myself, and that we started working together. So at that time, we really didn't have many ways to approach filmmaking or to study filmmaking. Here we don't have any schools, or we don't have any an industry in our state. So the way that we found each other was to help each other, to support each other's projects. so we could develop and have the chance to learn whatever we could in the practice. So Omar and myself met at a film festival, a local film festival, and then we just started like working and really hit it off. We really had the same influences. So we just started working together and working on shorts. We made a first short and we started competing in some local festivals. And then from there, we didn't go to, like we were, I was saying, to film school or anything like that. So now in these 7 years, it's been a way to, for us, the best way for us to learn to work in practice and to learn from each other. So now we have been working for all these years and made 4 short films in our production company, South Negro Films. Some of the films started gaining some recognition. We have been fortunate enough to have that. And then it was just a matter of keep on doing whatever and keep on persisting on telling stories.
Well, Camilo, ask Lady, how did she get into acting?
Oh, Lady, ¿cómo fue que tú comenzaste a actuar?
Fue por un proyecto que, como ya lo mencionaron, a mis 17 años inicié con Las Elegidas. Realmente fue entrar al casting por pura curiosidad. Creo que nunca en mi vida lo había pensado, planeado, no era algo que realmente, no sé, fuera un sueño o algo por el estilo, pero se presentó la oportunidad, lo hice por curiosidad, me quedé en este proyecto y a partir de todo lo que viví con este proyecto, que se presentó en Cannes, festivaleamos por el mundo 2 años, creo que la reacción de la gente, el tema de la película, todo lo que representa o lo que implica ser parte del cine mexicano, del cine de arte, creo que eso fue lo que me enamoró y a partir de ese momento comencé pues a seguirlo haciendo hasta que ahora, claro, ya es parte de mi vida y es a lo que me dedico.
Well, she says she was like very curious about acting, but not as an early age. It was just something that she stumbled onto the opportunity to participate in the film Las Elegidas, which was directed by David Pablos, and that, like as you were saying, had the like gained a lot of recognition. So that sort of caught her off guard. It was a very surprise, very nice surprise for her to see the reaction of a lot of people in Cannes and to see this problematic, which was the subject was a little bit of a delicate topic. So that's when she realized that, you know, making films of like artistic point of view and that, you know, work subjects that matter to her and that matter for society, that started to really seeming something very interesting for her to do. Like she really wanted to make more films that were artistic, that were about things that matter and that, you know, made people reflect on subjects that are, you know, issues in our society.
Well, Camilo, how did you come to cast a Lady? Because she gave an amazing performance in this film.
Well, we met with Lady, Omar and myself met Lady with this film that I was telling you about, El Ocaso de Juan, which was, I think, Lady, we have met each other since like 2016. And since then, I think we were at a festival in Durango, which is a state north in Mexico. And since then, we really liked each other. We were really trying to make the same films. We watched her in the film Las Elegidas, and we were really surprised by her talent. And she was at a very young age at the time. I think Lady tendrías 21 años, 22 años. I think she was like 22 years old when she started that film. So we really hit it off. We were very young, all of us, and we made friends. So we kept saying that we work one day work in a short. And the opportunity never came. So after the pandemic, we really tried to make it through and for us to work, you know, Omar, myself, and Lady. And so this was a chance to make the film. But it had to happen. We made another short before we collaborated together.
Okay, now this question is for Lady. Your character, Sonia, is the epitome of a mother who unselfishly takes care of her grandmother and desires to give her son a better life. But there are never-ending struggles. How did you prepare for the role?
Lady dice que tu personaje encarna la lucha de esta madre por tratar de recuperar la custodia de su hijo, pero aparentemente hay una lucha que nunca termina, ¿no? Este, como dificultades que le ocurren a todo el tiempo. ¿Cómo fue que tú enfocaste o que tú aproximaste a tu personaje?
Claro, creo que es una temática que en su momento, cuando el proyecto llegó a mí, en todo el mundo, bueno, yo desconocía y conforme me, o sea, avanzamos con el proyecto, me di cuenta que claro, casi nadie es consciente del trabajo que cuesta recuperar a un niño cuando el Estado ya te lo quitó. Entonces creo que es ese constante trabajo de recuperarlo y de sus adicciones, bueno, de su pasado que tiene Sonia, que pues al final el conflicto genera una buena trama. El guión, la verdad es que por parte de mis compañeros está muy bien hecho. No sé, creo que nada más que la empatía fue lo que me hizo llegar a interpretar a Sonia como tenía que ser. Es un proyecto que me gustó muchísimo, que claro, yo tenía muchas ganas de trabajar con Omar y con Camilo. Entonces, cuando se presenta esta oportunidad, nada más que estudiar, adentrarme más en el proyecto, no sé, empatizar mucho con el personaje.
So it was very easy actually to connect with the character, and that it was interesting for her since the very beginning, you know, because these kind of subjects about, you know, shelter home kids and mothers who are trying to recover the custody of their kids, sometimes it's hard to talk about them because that usually is very difficult to actually happen, you know, no matter what the person is trying to do. It's sometimes actually, you know, hard for that reality to come, you know, to come true for people. So that was interesting for her from the very beginning. And she says that, of course, she wanted to work with us and that we were friends. But, you know, since she saw the script and the story that we were offering her, and she felt very attracted and to have empathy towards the character, that it was very easy for her to have that empathy because she also connects through that as a mother.
I love that. And Camila, and even Lady, I noticed in the midst of Sonia's financial hardships that she spent money on a snow globe for her son. And the snow globe became a place of freedom, happiness, and even peace for her, but it was also for her to give her son hope. To me, that was a very bright spot in this film, a very beautiful moment in bringing that feeling of hope for her son, and even for the audience.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Dice acerca de la bola de cristal, que fue un detalle muy bonito, muy positivo, tanto para el personaje como para el niño, como para la audiencia, ¿no? Que encapsula este deseo del niño. Yeah, I think that was some of the most beautiful passages and proposals that we came up. You know, Omar had written a first draft of the script, and then we usually have this tendency of working together and seeing what else we could, you know, balance and check out. And I think it was the subject and the story was hard as it is, you know, as you're seeing the struggle of this woman who comes into many difficulties, and that seems like it's gonna be a very pipe dream for her to actually, you know, getting back to her kid, and that reuniting with his is gonna be hard for her. So we said, what can encapsulate the desire? What can encapsulate her willing to and her mother, you know, motherly love? So I think this is a very nice touch, a very beautiful way to encapsulate all her dreams and all her desire to re-encounter with him So yeah, it does. She doesn't have any money, and we figured out it made sense also with the character for her to, even though she needs to have everything in order, but not really, you know, like to just do it, even though she may need the money for something else, or she may need the money to pay the rent or to pay the light or all of the issues she has. But it made sense for her to just, you know, use the money to buy something for her kid, for her son, and to just give him this kind of hope in this beautiful gift that she gives to him. So it made sense in the story, made sense for the character, and it's also that part of beauty that we try to encapsulate. What we try to do is not only paint a dark picture, but always try to encapsulate hope in a way that, you know, hope and the possibility to one day reunite with her son is actually something that may happen, right? And that a crystal ball encapsulates it.
Exactly. And for both of you, I mean, the sadness of the story is how parents lose their children when they are doing everything that they can to provide for their basic needs. My heart went out to the character Sonia, of course, because she's the lead, but the struggles she endures in the film, the loss of water, the loss of electricity, the temporary loss of her son. What was the message that you wanted to tell by taking everything away from Sonia?
The way we approach stories sometimes is to try to connect and to try to tell stories in a realistic way. Sometimes not particularly in a dark way or you know, as it may seem, but in a real way, in a realistic way. And sometimes, you know, life is hard and it's difficult, not only in Mexico, but in other parts of the world, also in the United States. I know that there are also issues like this that happen every day. But in Mexico, it's a reality that millions of people live every day, and that it's very hard for them to access to many things that sometimes a lot of people, you know, take for granted, that we take for granted sometimes. And there are, you know, encapsulate the very basic needs that people should have and should be entitled to, you know, to like basic lights or whatever. But it's so hard in Mexico, and we have seen so many realities in many occasions that we just can't be approached in a more like positive, happy-go-lucky way. You know, sometimes just things happen to you, and sometimes you have a bad day, and you have a bad period, and a lot of things like sum up to you. You know, we have all have a bad day or a bad period in our lives. So it's just a matter that a lot of things like happen to her because she's in a very difficult situation. She had a very difficult past. She had, of course, addiction problems and a very dark past. So she's just trying to struggle and to do whatever she can to put everything in order. But everything seems to be very, very difficult. And so, yeah, that's something that just sometimes happens. And that maybe here it is put in a more dramatic way, and also for purposes of narrating a story, but it's just something that happens sometimes. But we also, like you were saying, try to put a little light on it, a little touch of beauty and of hope on it. But we didn't want to try to approach it like in a happy go lucky, you know, like everything's gonna yeah. solve by itself, because sometimes it's not like that.
But what I loved is the way you wrote Sonia's character. You allowed Sonia, or you gave Sonia many different emotions. I mean, there was despair, there was fear, there was happiness, there was joy, there is hope, but there was also where she was facing some of these officials, where her life and her son's life is going to be dictated by their decision. And so she had to live, you know, to live with that. There's a very tiny scene in the film where Sonya goes out into this dark hallway where the electric box is, and she opens it up and she has a pair of pliers, and the way that she flips the switch, she knows that the power is not going to come on. It was just a little bit of her way of like, this is all I can do. And the look on her face when she closed the power box and she just turned around and leaned up against the wall, right there, it's like, where is this going to go? Where is my life going? And
yeah,
Lady's performance in this film is brilliant. And please tell her that.
Yeah. Dice que por favor te diga que tu actuación fue estupenda, fue brillante. Y obviamente pues el personaje pasa por muchas emociones, pasa por tristeza, por miedo, por alegría, y tú lo encapsulas de una manera perfecta, ¿no? Entonces me dice que me asegura de decirte que fue una actuación estupenda. Y también de nuestra parte, por cierto. Sí, I agree, Lady's work is really beautiful. And she just conveyed all of these things with a lot of emotions that are encapsulating in her face, you know, in her facial expressions. Her character, you know, the nature of her is not very communicative. It's not, she's someone who is not often with a lot of people, right? I know she's like, sometimes a lot of the times that we see her, she's isolated from the world and that she doesn't really have a lot of people to go to. So she had to do all of these things by just showing her expressions. And I think she does that brilliant work.
She
convey
does
all those emotions with her eyes too.
And you're right, because some of the biggest actors in the world will tell you that acting isn't necessarily what you're saying. It's acting of what your face is telling the audience, what your eyes are telling the audience. And Lady took every scene in this film. You felt her emotions. You felt everything that she brought to the camera. And, you know, for me, if they ever handed out Oscars for best actor or best actress in a short film, Lady would win one.
Yeah, they should. Yeah, I know that you mentioned it, hopefully. Lady dice que es un trabajo tan estupendo, tan padre, que dicen que la actuación a veces no es solamente lo que puedes decir a la gente en palabras, sino lo que puedes comunicar con tus ojos, con tus expresiones, con tu presencia física, ¿no? Y dice que lo haces de manera tan estupenda que si un día dan Óscares para mejor actriz o actor de cortometraje, que definitivamente deberían de darte uno. Y estoy de acuerdo, ¿no? Y ojalá que sí. Hopefully they will one day. ¿Algo quieres comentarle sobre?
Well, ask Lady, which scene in the film was the most difficult for her to act?
¿Cuál fue la escena que en ese sentido fue más difícil para ti, para interpretar?
Bueno, creo que, bueno, antes que nada, thank you so much. De verdad me alegra muchísimo que vean mi trabajo de la forma en la que la está viendo. Y pues, con respecto a la pregunta, creo que el final, claro, tú estabas ahí, Camilo. Sabemos que este cortometraje se hizo desde muchos lugares, se hizo con mucho cariño, con mucho amor, pero definitivamente, bueno, claro, yo soy madre, entonces creo que esta última escena representa muchísimas cosas. Claro que existe un miedo en cada una de las madres en que su hijo no pueda estar con ellas. Entonces, creo que es desde un fondo, pues, personal, pero también el punto de la actuación, darle vida a esto, representar este tipo de situaciones, pero definitivamente fue el final, el momento en el que ella comprende que realmente, pues, lo que tanto sueña y lo que tanto esperaba no es el momento y no pasará.
See, yeah, I mean, she's saying that many of the sequences were difficult to work because, especially the most emotional ones. But the one that, was a little bit more difficult was definitely the final scene, the ending scene, where she's just concluding and that she has just received that all of her dreams and everything that she wants and that she has been working and trying to do her best to accomplish, it's not going to happen. That the reunion with her son is not going to happen, or at least it's not going to happen for the moment, because as you saw, Ward is a matter of that. The reunion with her son is not going to happen for the moment. It may happen one day, but it's not going to happen for them for at this moment. And she said that the moment she realizes that, that was the most heartbreaking and the most difficult scene to play. And she also says that she connects through her motherhood, and she's also a mother, so that was very hard to try to approach in a personal way. So that was heartbreaking for her.
In Mexico, how difficult is it for a parent to get themselves back on solid ground to where they can get their child back?
There are many, of course, there are a very wide, range of cases, and each one may have their particularities. But this is a reality that happens a lot in Mexico, and also happens a lot of it in our state and in many places in Mexico. And sometimes addictions are a part of the picture, poverty, marginalization. So, it really is sometimes difficult for people to accomplish a real recovery or to recover the sons, because sometimes the reality is a little bit more difficult. But I guess, and we guess that yes, there are cases, but it's not the majority of them. It's really the majority is that it's hard for people to strive and to actually get back to the considering the conditions. So Mexico does have sometimes a difficult part and it's not always easy. So yeah, but there are also stories of a lot of people who have come over it and have came out of the other way in a beautiful way. And most of the people who does recover, who does get back on her feet, and who recover their sons or their daughters, most of those people sometimes are so touched by their experience that they decide to give talks about this, or to try to promote consciousness about these subjects and these things. So they are really touched by it, and they if they do recover, sometimes this is something that is never gonna leave them. So it's something sometimes becomes their guide, or something that they start to do to try to promote or to make people conscious about these realities.
Well, what I loved about Isla Soledad, Camilo, and Lady, is that this film is so true to life. You didn't give us the warm, happy ending. This film was authentic. It's beautiful. It's brilliant from beginning to end. The cinematography is spectacular. I mean, this is Oscar quality of this type of film. Who was the cinematographer?
Yeah, I'm very happy that you mentioned that. We worked with a cinematographer who is a friend of ours. She's called Olivia Luengas. She's a very talented cinematographer in Guadalajara. And yeah, we were, like, as I was saying, trying to make this story that was also not only in the script, but also visually, and also in all of the resources that we have, that also had to have this kind of beauty, and also the desire of her to recover and to go to the beach, to go to the sea for the first time. That was a beautiful idea. So I think we have to convey that in sort of a beautiful aesthetic too. So the beaches and the locations and the nature was also a part of the desire of her to, you know, the very pure desire of her to recover. So I think visually it also had to be like that. So we were very fortunate to work with Olivia, which had some time to come and to and know the locations and everything, make the test, so that the film could have also that technical aspect that encapsulates the beauty of her dream. So that I think that's what makes it also kind of special. That's actually what I really like about Omar's story, the very first time she told me about, that he had these difficulties and very realistic approach, and it was hard. You know, sometimes people say, why do you want to talk about this hard stuff? Like, why don't you make something more cheerful? We go, okay, so we're trying to talk about things that matter to us, that are issues for us, that I think we are worth communicating, are worth trying to make people, you know, sensible about it, about them, sensitive about them. So, but we also have to do it in, and I really liked it this time, that it was also in a very beautiful kind of fable. So aesthetically and visually, I knew it was going to be beautiful, that part. It's not a very hard in your face, you know, reality. It's also from her motives and her motherly love. And that was actually what I really liked also. And I'm glad that you liked that visually, that it really liked you, that part.
Yeah, and see, and in this film, and I like the way you balanced it out. Because with Sonia, you're showing her, you're showing the hardships in her own neighborhood with her boss, but you bring these beautiful moments of hope where she buys the snow globe, she goes to the birthday party, she goes to where her son is, she has to take this long bus ride, which you could tell that it's a long bus ride because even on the way back, she's taking time to sleep. So I knew that the bus ride was long. But even at the birthday party, there is this, even with the cinematography, it's sunny, it's bright, it's happy. She feels happy because she sees that her son is being taken care of. He's happy. But there's just that little bit of sadness because she knows she can't bring him home at that moment. So you bring this perfect balance in the story. What locations did you use to film, including the beaches?
We work on mostly in our home state. We have had that interest of working most of the shorts and the filmmaking we do from our home state, but also bringing people from all over, bringing people from Mexico City, from Tijuana, ladies also from Tijuana, and a lot of the crew was also from Guadalajara, and we combine it also with people from here. So most of the locations are in our hometown, in Colima, in Villa de Álvarez, which are small cities in our state, and the beaches sequences are also made in. We really knew that we had to come into something very special for that, so we went to some Virgin Islands, which are sort of like this beach site in Michoacán, which is nearby Colima. And there are like we had to go a little far away to do that. It was like 3 hours drive, sort of almost 4 hours drive, just to capture those beautiful beaches that you see in the film. And that also balanced out the realities that she's coming into. So yeah, those, I think most of it, I would say 90% was filmed in real locations in our home state. Like you were saying, the scene of the party with the kid and the shelter home, that was in another city, which is a little far away from our home state, but it was also very beautiful and open and outdoors, and it had this we knew we had to have this kind of balance of beautiful day and the natural light coming into their lives, right into the moments that when they're together. But you know, it is a contrast with other scenes in her house and with the other moments in her life, you know. So that was sort of a balance that we tried to do. That was actually, I'm very glad that you mentioned that, because that was sort of the idea, to try to make a balance of, you know, the reality, but also the beauty in it, and the motivational part of her.
You did it perfectly. And there was something else I noticed, because, and most people will not notice this, but there's this feeling, and it comes across on screen. There's this feeling of warmth. You know, it's Mexico, it's probably summertime. If she's in her own home, like Sonia's in her own home, you know, you can tell by her complexion. It's very warm. You know, with electricity out, there's not going to be any air conditioning. But that feeling of warmth, you notice it not only from the feeling, the emotion, you notice it in the lighting, the cinematography. Even when the scenes are shadowy, they're slightly dark. You feel her sitting there in front of her boss. You can tell that it's hot, it's sticky, but that also causes her emotion to feel a little bit uncertainty. I mean, nobody wants to feel uncomfortable when it comes to temperature, but you placed her in that type of situation. But then, like the birthday party, you feel the warmth of the sun, the warmth of happiness, the smile on her face, the smile on her son's face. Then at the beaches, and what I found interesting about the beach, I love the beach scenes because you only placed Sonia and her son. There's nobody else. And the way that the setting is with the rocks, you know, the cliffs, so to speak, it circles both of them as this is their perfect, free, private, beautiful moment. But then with that scene, because of the water, there's this slight, cool, refreshing feeling that whole setting brings.
Yeah, that was, I think that was it was worth the sacrifice to go that far away to those Virgin Islands, because it's not an island, it's like a virgin shore, virgin beaches. I don't know how you would say this. But it's like not a lot of people have gone, and it's not, there's nothing constructed there. So it really, Omar also had insisted to me that we were working into trying to make it the most beautiful and isolated place, but a beautiful one at that, you know, with no people, no constructions whatsoever, no human, you know, print there, no human aspect to it. The most, natural and beautiful place we could find. And that was the one that we could access to. And it was a little hard to get to that part, but I think it was worth it, because we really get the sense that this is a dream and this is her desire, and to be together with him and for them to be just, you know, together one day. And it's something very personal for her, and it's something that comes from her heart. And I think that place really encapsulates. And like you were saying, in contrast to other places where it's hot and she's in a difficult situation, and the weather is like a little bit of, you know, having a cost on her. And so in contrast to that, these scenes, I really think they make the short and they make the story. I think all the story on all the project is beautiful, but I think these scenes are the special magical touch, right, that you get to have. And it's sort of a nice comfort that maybe one day they will be able to do it, right? Even though the reality may be hard, but it also leaves a small possibility that it may happen one day, right?
Well, yeah, because I thought the picture at the end was a very, very nice touch.
Yes, that's interesting. A lot of people have, like, some people ask us about that. They go, like, what does it mean? Do they come together? But I think if you're really observant of it, I think you know it's sort of a fantasy, right? Encapsulated there, but it also.
You know, At first I was looking at it saying that's a dream, but it's not. It's the hope.
Exactly, exactly. It's the hope. That was a very nice touch at the ending. Originally, the script, we had a sort of a difficult, I think it ended with her in the picture, with the lady's character in the picture of her son at the end, and when she's crying. But then it was, we came with this idea that of this having this sort of metaphorical, sort of dreamy sequence of you know, who knows what this may be. But exactly, it's not maybe a dream. It's like the hope encapsulated and visually represented, you know.
And see, the reason why, because the reason why I loved the picture is because, like you said, it allows the audience to try to figure out what it means. So with that type of ending, the audience leaves the theater thinking about the film. And that's what I love about short films. And this film is brilliant filmmaking. Please ask Lady, what would she like the audience to take away from this film?
Lady, ¿qué es lo que te gustaría a ti, como actriz, que la gente tome o que la gente se quede como reflexión de este cortometraje?
Creo que principalmente la empatía hacia todos estos casos, creo que es como mi granito de arena que quiero dejar con mi trabajo. Casi todos mis proyectos han sido con una tipo de denuncia, crítica acerca de todos estos problemas sociales. Entonces, si el día que ven mis proyectos o este tipo de proyectos, no solo los ven, se levantan y se van como, bueno, estuvo bueno, estuvo interesante y ya. Y en lugar de eso, se quedan un poco a reflexionar, a empatizar con todas estas situaciones. Creo que esa ya es ganancia para mí y realmente es por lo que yo sigo haciendo este tipo de proyectos. Me gusta mucho y eso, concientizar un poco acerca de todos estos temas y la empatía. Creo que es algo que sí quisiera que la gente tuviera después de ver este proyecto.
It says mainly empathy is the thing that she wants people to gain from this. Empathy and sensibility towards these subjects, towards these people, towards the realities that are not always the same as ours. And yeah, she says that if she can contribute with maybe a small part or that through her art, through her films, through the projects that she takes on, that are, if she can somehow make that, you know, choose projects for them to be projects that leave people with this reflection and that also deal with stuff that we have to deal, even though sometimes we don't want to. That's the way that she wants to contribute and to leave, you know, out of her as a legacy or as a body of work that she's trying to construct. So that she says that it's just something like a small contribution that, which is also what I think, and I think that I speak as on Amar's behalf, as what we try to do is that also, like, to conceive filmmaking, of course, it's an art form, it's something to express ourselves and to express what we feel, what we care about, but it's also a form of communication, you know, it's a massive form of communication. If you do well with your films, they're going to be seen in many places and by a lot of people. So I think this is your chance to have a voice and to express something, right, to the people, to communicate something to the people. So I think I agree with Lady.
I do. Absolutely. And ask Lady, what does she have planned for the rest of 2024?
Lady, ¿cuáles son tus planes para el resto del 2024?
Pues seguir trabajando. Por el momento estoy muy feliz porque acabamos de estrenar la segunda temporada de Señorita 89, que está por Universal Plus. También estamos en Mujeres Asesinas, claro, estamos moviendo y muy emocionados del futuro estreno de Isla Soledad aquí en México. Y también hay una película que se llama Luna Negra, entonces creo que estoy muy emocionada por todo lo que se ha estado estrenando, en lo que soy parte, pero pues nada, esperar más proyectos como este, seguir trabajando, estoy muy feliz de estar viendo todo lo que se creó este último año.
She says she's very excited for, into taking more roles like this, taking more projects like this. She has two TV shows, not only one, like two TV series that are, I think, premiering new seasons this summer. One of them is Señorita 89, which she's starring. It's a very critically acclaimed TV show here, and I think it's going to be streaming on Universal Plus. And she's also has a new full-length feature, which is called Luna Negra. And it's about to premiere also. And she's also looking forward to what happens with Isla Soledad. We're about to hopefully have our premiere in Mexico soon. So yeah, she's just looking forward to all of these projects and whatever else comes.
Well, is Isla Soledad, is it eligible to be Oscar qualified still?
I think it is still eligible to be Oscar qualified, although Sony struggled. That is sometimes a little difficult. You have to win an Academy Award qualifying festival, and that is something that we haven't yet accomplished. But it's still some time. We still have some time to move it in more festivals, both in Mexico and outside. We're still looking forward. I think this premiering, I think July or August last year. So yeah, I think for the Academy Awards, we still have some window. If that's
Fantastic.
something
Well,
that may happen with
Camilo, for you and Omar, what do you have planned for the rest of the year?
Well, we're working already in our first full-length feature, which is a script that we're writing together. And this is the first time that we really come up into a story that really fulfills us. There's also a role for Lady, if she will be interested in doing it, of course. I think actually the main character is written for Lady, so we would really love to work with her again and with our actors, other collaborators that we have had in the past. And it has taken somehow long because we have made like been working for almost 8 years, and we have been working we have made four short films so far. A lot of people have told us, man, you should have done a full-length feature before. But we really like to take our time to the projects and to really feel convinced with the script, with story. And when you make a full-length feature, it really is a different deal as making a short film. So we were waiting sort of for the story that we will be convinced that is worth telling in a full-length feature, in the length of a movie. So we are very happy to now finally have a story that we're really excited about and that really deals with also subjects that we're very interested in a very beautiful way. So we're writing this full-length feature and also a couple of shorts that we might have in between.
Oh, fantastic. Well, please tell Lady that she is a beautiful, brilliant, and talented actress, and I can't wait to see what else she is going to be doing in her career.
No, pues dice que eres una actriz muy bella, brillante y talentosa, y dice que está esperando ver qué más es lo que viene en tu camino. Que dice que está seguro que va a ser muy brillante.
Muchísimas gracias, thank you so much. Y pues nada, esperemos que vengan más proyectos y claro, pues estarnos viendo por ahí.
All right, Camila, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Well, I want to thank both you and Lady for coming on to the program, sharing with us this incredible film. And I can't wait to see where this film is going to go. And also, I can't wait for your future products. So both of you are going to have to come back soon.
Yes, hopefully. Thank you very much. And
you're very
yeah, we do hope to come back in with a new project soon.
Oh, absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, the short film Isla Soledad is the tale of a single mother who loses the custody of her son and struggles to make amends for her past mistakes. Now, she pleads for a chance to bring him back home, but to do so, she must overcome her financial strains and the complicated care of her sick grandmother. So if you are part of the film festival circuit, then you must see this beautiful film as it's sure to collect many awards. Again, I want to thank Camilo and Lady for sharing their film with us today. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch all of the replays of our interviews with top film directors, producers and screenwriters, as well as actors and more at Bond on Cinema. And we're also available on YouTube and a dozen audio platforms as well. I want to thank you for watching and listening. And as for me, I'll either see you at the movies or from the red carpet.
¿A dónde? Al mar. Siempre he querido conocer al mar.
Island is tell the story of Sonia, who is a young single mother who wants to recover the custody of his little boy who is in a foster care. And I want to tell a story about separation and how we need to say goodbye sometimes.
I think this is about wanting and longing something and longing something with all your heart. Her son is in custody of the government, and well, she has had a very difficult past. It has a lot of sincerity about this, the struggle of this young woman, which represents the struggle of many people in Mexico. So I hope people understand and relate to the story and the characters, because it's something that millions of people live every day in our country.
Sí, claro. Necesito que vayan a arreglar la luz en mi casa.
For the very first time I think about the story, I always think about Lady doing the character of Sonia.
Al final de cuentas, uno siempre va a hacer todo por sus hijos, a pesar de los errores que a los que te lleva la vida. Sí, creo que desde ahí, como desde la maternidad. De empatía siempre es importante que la gente sea empática. Se está tocando un tema que casi no se habla, que casi no se conoce. Se los he mencionado varias veces, yo creo mucho en las historias que están otra vez creando. Camilo y Omar.
One thing that Omar and Camilo have is like they tell stories from Colima. But it's not just the story from Colima, but also like universal subjects.
It's very important to do jobs in your hometown, to tell a story about your hometown.
Corte!
And I will love to do that in the future, because I love this place.
To achieve what we want to achieve, to bring people together from different parts of Mexico and different parts from even from other countries like the US and from England.
La importancia de seguir contando historias, de seguir haciendo cine, de seguir apoyando para descentralizar la industria.
I hope that they are feeling like that is a hope message.
Muchas gracias.
Isla Soledad, escena 16, plano A, toma 1.
¿Cómo la marca?